Welcome to another episode of the Oncology On The Go podcast. I'm your host, Roman Fabricator. In this episode, Cancer Network spoke with Eric Weiner, director of the Yale Cancer Center, as well as president and physician-in-chief at Smilow Cancer Hospital, about the current state of oncologist burnout, steps that can be taken to ameliorate it, and how it currently impacts professionals in the field. Causes of workplace burnout identified in a paper published in the Journal of Clinical Oncology in January 2025 were the use of electronic health records, staffing levels, payer authorizations, hours worked, and age. Moreover, a significant correlation between being a caregiver to someone at home and workplace burnout was observed. Finally, Weiner emphasized that many oncologists have to do tasks, such as administrative ones, that take time away from patient care, which may correlate with increased feelings of burnout or fatigue.
So just briefly, can you explain what workplace burnout is, what causes it, and what it might lead to?
Workplace burnout is something that is not unique to the medical profession. And there's a whole literature on burnout in a variety of different situations. But when we talk about burnout related to medicine and related to oncology, we're talking about a syndrome that involves fatigue, some element of depersonalization, a lack of interest in continuing to pursue the work, feeling stressed, feeling emotionally exhausted, and oftentimes feeling a lack of empathy for the people one takes care of, with just increasingly negative attitudes about work in general.
Great, thank you. That's great to just kind of set this whole discussion up. So the recent ASCO survey published did find a 14% increase in workplace burnout from 2013 to 2023. And a lot's changed since 2013. So is there anything you could pinpoint as saying what might have led to this increase in burnout?
There are a number of factors. One, you know, since I referred to burnout sort of across the board and in society, I think some of this is a little bit of a societal issue, because you hear more and more people talking about burnout. You hear more people talking about wanting to achieve a work-life balance. And maybe that's a little more difficult in medicine than in some places, which can lead to burnout. Clearly, the COVID pandemic was stressful. While on the one hand, early in the pandemic, everyone felt extraordinarily mission-driven, as if they were in a battleground, and that tends to bring people together. But there's fatigue associated with that. And a lot of people felt that they couldn't practice the way they would like to practice. They had to make decisions about, particularly early on, about treatments that needed to be delayed or not given. And although telehealth is a great thing when used properly, I think telehealth also puts a barrier between the doctor and the patient. I will confess to you that I don't really like telehealth. I'm willing to do it occasionally, but I like sitting face to face with a patient. And without that, I feel like it's a different kind of interaction. And then finally, in the last 10 years, 10, 12 years, we've seen this proliferation of tasks that I think many physicians never thought that they would have to do. Excessive documentation, all of this time spent in front of screens instead of spent in front of patients, insurance authorizations, and many pieces of our jobs that don't really feel like they're mission driven.
Do you think the survey happening in 2023, right after the pandemic ended, might have had some effect on it? Like the results might be different if you took it now or maybe in another year?
Maybe. And I will share with you that I think that while people could suspect that oncology would be an area where there'd be a lot of burnout, I think for a lot of oncologists, there's actually less burnout. And I think what keeps many of us from being burnt out is the mission-driven nature of the work. I mean, I don't have to go home and worry about whether I gave enough to the world today. And I think there are professions where people don't have that luxury. The work I do feels very meaningful. Work-life balance, while it's not something that only younger people think about, I think more and more younger people think about it a lot. And I think that relates to sort of general changes in our society. Many of us who grew up at a time when the truth is there wasn't a lot of work-life balance, maybe we're just beaten into submission or something. I don't know. But I do think that sometimes people invest a lot of energy into worrying about work-life balance rather than just getting their work done and then going out and having the rest of their life. And so, although I'm not necessarily always the best example, I'm a total believer in making sure that people have balance in their lives. But I sometimes worry that people worry too much about it.
So then some of the factors in the study that correlated a lot with the negative work-life balance were being a caregiver to someone at home, being younger than 50, and then working more than 60 hours. So what steps are there that oncologists can take to maybe improve the way that affects work-life balance?
I think it's very clear that a lot of the work we do is not work that we as oncologists have to do. Things like prior authorizations and, some of the record keeping really needs to be delegated to other people. And I think simply having these new approaches to generating clinic notes with ambient AI and other such things will result in improvements. I think it's really important that people work in teams. I also think that, and this gets to the paper which you may or may not have seen about academic oncologists that we wrote recently, but I think we really have to define reasonable career expectations for different people. And while it may be reasonable for certain medical subspecialties to see patients in a 15-minute interval or a 20-minute interval, oncologists often need more time with people. It's a much more complicated patient population. And I don't think that's just an excuse. I think it's real. And I think our patients would say the same thing.
Thank you. And then also another one of the things the study found was that hours worked was one of the greatest stressors. And the survey did find that 20% of oncologists did say they would reduce their clinical hours within a year. Did you ever follow up on that to see how many of them ended up doing that? And then if that did happen, how might that drop in workforce affect the medical system going forward?
We didn't follow up on that, but we have a workforce problem, which is part of the reason why we need to embrace nurse practitioners and PAs or APPs, as we call them now, and we need to really incorporate them in the care model. I'm told, based on ASCO work, that 23% of oncologists say they're nearing retirement age, whereas there are only 14% that are under the age of 40. Now, I don't know that those two groups are totally equal. I think there may be people in their late 50s who are going to work for another decade who say they're nearing retirement age. But we are concerned about the fact that, if anything, the oncology workforce needs to expand because people are living longer and longer with active cancer and need care. And there's that much more we can do for people. And there's not necessarily an increase in the number of people going into oncology. If you think about it, when I was a young breast cancer doctor, we didn't have a lot of treatment. And number one, everything was much simpler because there were only a few choices. And number two, because we only had a few choices, people didn't live as long when they had incurable cancer. Now there are people who live for 5 and 10 and 15 and 20 years with active cancer. And so our practices get filled up not by new patients, but by all the people who need care who we're taking care of.
You also found that administrative factors like staffing levels or use of electronic health records, and then, like you said, like the payer interactions or getting authorization were found to be top stressors for oncologists. And so, why might this be, and what can be done to fix this?
I think this is where the health system you work in is really critical. because there need to be people in the system who are attending to a lot of these issues so that it doesn't all fall to the doc. I cannot overestimate how important this is. We need to have people in place. We need to restructure our teams to make sure that they're efficient. And I think that it's really possible to get rid of a lot of those stressors by having the right team put into place. I have to say, I don't think that's something that is necessarily entirely under the control of the oncologist. Very few oncologists these days are in solo or two or three or four person practices. Most people are either at an academic center, or they're in a site affiliated with an academic center, or they're in very large oncology groups. So it's the system that has to work on behalf of the oncologist.
And so I know you mentioned the other paper that you published, and in that paper you then find three specific recommendations that institutions should consider, which were kind of establishing reasonable workloads or providing resources to conduct research. But can you just speak on those a little bit?
The paper was very specifically about academic medical oncologists. And one of the realities is that many academic medical oncologists conduct research, and much of that research is research looking at new cancer therapies, clinical trials. And those are not necessarily easy studies to both do and to get salary support for. So what you will find is that in many medical centers and many academic medical centers, that people are expected to see increasing numbers of patients and at the same time try to conduct that research. And the point that we were making and trying to make it loud and clear is that academic medical centers need to provide some protected time for not necessarily everyone, but for the people in the system who are conducting clinical research. And of course, there's no free ride. And so if they're not fulfilling the expectation and they're not producing research, then that support should be taken away. But we can't expect people to be full-time doctors and full-time researchers. And we have to have reasonable balance there. We also defined a variety of different types of academic clinicians, all the way from the person who is predominantly taking care of patients to the person who's doing some research and taking care of patients. You need to say something to somebody. And then there are people who are administrators and clinicians, and people who are educators and clinicians. And we just have to keep in mind that the clinical workload needs to match what else is going on in someone's life. And that for the academic health system, that research that people do, while it may require some support from the system, is going to bring in more patients into the system. It's good for everyone. It's good for the person doing the research. It's certainly good for the patients, because the only way we're going to make progress is by doing research. And ultimately, it's good for the academic health system because it's going to bring in more people. One other point that we made in that paper is that it's really important to support people early on. And you can't tell somebody, oh, you have to be in clinic and see patients 4 days a week. And if you happen to get a grant or you happen to land a clinical trial, then we'll give you a little time. Because if you're flat out busy, you're never going to be able to do that.
As an oncologist yourself, drawing on personal experience, what have you maybe experienced or observed with this discussion in mind? And during times when maybe you've been especially stressed at work, or you've seen other people be stressed at work, were you able to identify what factors might have caused it or how you solved that?
Yeah, so I'm a lucky guy. I have been in an academic position my whole life. Probably at my busiest clinical time, I saw patients 2.5 days a week. I'm somebody who really loves seeing patients. I get a lot of satisfaction and joy from it, but I don't know that I would want to do it 4 days a week. And I like having the balance in my life that allows me to do research, that allows me to be an administrator, that just gives me a mix of different things to do during the day. I also really believe that as an oncologist, that if you accept the invitation to walk into somebody's life, which is an invitation you get almost always when someone's diagnosed with cancer, that it's just a really fulfilling time with that patient and her or his family. So everybody's different, but I don't really feel like I've ever been particularly burnt out for a long period of time, meaning more than about a day. And to this day, I think that patients and clinical care drive everything else that I do, and that really helps me. But I think everybody's got to find their own sweet spot. And I don't pretend to think that what makes me run well, that makes me tick, is what's good for someone else. And I think that I can tell you the one thing that doesn't work is when people aren't comfortable with who they are and what they're doing. And so you got to ultimately be comfortable with the mix of work you do during the course of a week. Finally, I will say two things. One, I think that the administrative burdens of clinical practice are pretty crushing. And I think we have to take significant steps to make sure that those burdens do not overwhelm all of us. I've been protected from a lot of them for a long time, but I see those burdens as being huge. And then finally, I'll just share one little bit about me with you, which is that what makes me crazy and what is like the one thing that makes me see red is when I have a patient to take care of and I don't feel like everybody's doing their best. And that just drives me crazy. And if I'm in a situation where that's happening repeatedly because the health system is inefficient or some such thing, and I haven't been in that situation, but I can imagine it, that would also burn me out. And it's both about providing the necessary medical care, but also doing it in a way that you would want to be taken care of if you were in that position.
What would you like for your fellow oncologists to take away from this conversation?
I think oncology is a great field. I think it is great for just so many reasons, and it's greater than it ever was. I think the patient care is extraordinary. I think there are really wonderful things you can do for patients. Even when we're not successful in saving someone's life, I think the way we take care of people really matters. And I think that as a part of the job, that's also something that can be very fulfilling. But the other piece of this is that you get to see science in action. So most of the treatments we have today didn't exist even in anyone's imagination 30 years ago. And we've seen this steady improvement over time. And I don't know that there are too many other fields like that. Certainly HIV, which went from being a almost not completely, but almost uniformly fatal condition to one that's totally treatable and people live completely normal lives, I think is a good example. But cancer's just been incredible. So I hope people take from this the fact that it's a great field.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Oncology on the Go podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available, or listen online at cancernetwork.com/resources/podcast. The Oncology on the Go podcast is the official podcast of cancernetwork.com, the home of the journal Oncology. For more information, visit us at cancernetwork.com and find us on Twitter at Cancer Network without the O, or on Facebook and LinkedIn at Cancer Network.